was the cost. We stood neath a debt we could never afford. Oh, our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. Sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Yes.
I'm still in your hands. This is Hallelujah. This is my confidence. You've never failed me. Our superintendent one time in a large meeting, probably, I don't know, a couple of thousand people there, he said, "Can we just drop the yet?" I said, "What?" The guy said, the song leader said, "What?" He said, "Can we just drop the yet?" Because yet indicates he might. Okay? This is my confidence. Never failed me. Okay? Sing, can you sing that? Come on, sing it. Just drop the yet. Okay? Never failed me. Because if I say yeah, I looked it up just a moment ago. Yet means up to this point, which indicates I'm looking at the future, not really knowing that everything that has happened so well up to this point may not continue to happen. Okay? But I'm telling you tonight, God is not going to fail. Amen? How many of you discovered that God's not going to fail? Amen? Even when sometimes you wondered, you know, in your human frailty, we all have, like, is he going to come through? You know, am I going to get that job or not? I mean, I stepped out in faith. Is this church going to elect me? Are they going to vote me in? You know, wherever you've been. But then you have this confidence that God hears you, he answers you, and he neither slumbers nor sleeps. I mean, you could just pull promise after promise after promise. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence that you've never failed me. God, I'm standing in the midst of a sanctuary in an unusual time with people of faith tonight on a Tuesday night. People of faith have gathered. People of confidence, Lord, confidence in their God have gathered, Lord. And we just commit tonight to you afresh, Lord, and anew in our spirit and our mind. And we just ask you, God, as we lay ourselves bare before you, that you would have your way. Open our heart to receive the word that you have for us. I pray for an online audience right now, God, that many are watching from who knows where, that you would just allow liberty and freedom tonight in the spirit realm, God. Speak through your vessel, God, as you faithfully have. And God, use him, Father, for your glory. One more time, a fresh coal from your altars, God, to touch his lips of clay and move beyond the physical to the supernatural. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Come on, worship. Worship him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We worship you. This is my confidence, God. This is my confidence, Lord. You've never failed me, God. Come on, sing a new song to the Lord. Sing a new song to the Lord. You've never failed me, God. You've never failed me, God. You never will. Hallelujah. Come on, sing it one more time. I've seen you move. Come on.
I see you do it again. I made a way when there was no way, and I believe. I see you do it again. I see you move.
This is my confidence. You've never failed me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you, God. We bless you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give the Lord praise one more time before you're seated. You can be seated in his presence. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in the presence of God. Thank you for being here faithfully, night after night. I know you're tired. I know people are tired. You know, I remember when revivals used, they never scheduled Sunday to Wednesday. It was always, you know, Sunday all the way through the week. And then there's a chance that we might go another week. Anybody remember those days? Praise the Lord. But we're here tonight, and we're here to receive from the Lord. Amen. God has shown himself mighty and strong in behalf of his people in these last several services, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night. And God's, you know, he's always got something for us. Every time his people gather together, he has something, somebody say something, that he wants to say. Amen. And so God wants to say something to us tonight. And hats off to the three or four people who have a shirt on that says, whatever, okay? At least there's memory here, all right? At least there's memory here. Doug Eccles is no stranger to this pulpit, to your ears, to your heart and your spirit. Many of you love him and appreciate him, and we're just delighted that he's come back our way in this fall of the year. Restoration 21. Would you give it up one time for Doug Eccles as he comes tonight? Praise the Lord. Praise God.
Thank you, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Great to be in the house of the Lord, and I know that Lori and I, we look forward to being here, and we love Hosky and this church especially, and your pastor and his wife and family, and some of you have become our friends, and others of you, we hope that you will continue to be our friend, too. And so how many believe the Lord wants to do something good again tonight? How about, you know, the Holy Spirit's here, and where he's at, you know, we don't lose anything. When Jesus went away, he said, I'm going to give you another comforter. How many know there was an exchange made? And tonight, if I gave you a 20 and you handed me back a 20, there wouldn't be any difference, would there? But when Jesus left, he made an exchange, and we didn't lose anything. We've got the Holy Ghost in the house tonight, amen? And he abides in us, how long? Forever. Amen. And that means on a Tuesday night, he's here. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, those of you that know me, about 11 years ago, I was in the earthquake when it took place in Haiti. And Haiti's having lots of difficulty right now. We know that they just had another earthquake. Wasn't near as devastating. You know, didn't affect 300,000 people like the first one. About 2,000 died. But if you were part of the 2,000, that'd be a bad day. How many understand what I'm saying? If you're part of those families. And so they've had some challenges. The president of the country there was assassinated. And he grew up in an Assemblies of God church. He grew up at the church in Trudenor. We've drilled a water well at that church. We have one there. He had a lot of land out in that area where they raised banana trees and sold them to the Germans. And he was a friend of our ministry and a friend of us. We've had him speak in our crusades. And really sad when you try to come against some things, corruption, and the other side doesn't like it too well. How many know what I'm talking about? So lots of stuff going on, but we need to pray for Haiti. But all the time while all this is going on, this year, we did twice as many water wells in 21 or 20 as we did in 19. Even with all the corona going on, we were able to do twice as much. You know, I think we ought to just do twice as much of whatever the devil doesn't like. Amen. He doesn't like you to praise him twice as much, preach twice as much, go into the world twice as much. Anything he hates, I want to do it twice as much because I hate the devil more than he hates me. Amen. I'm not a lover of the devil at all, man. He rebelled against God. I'm not really for rebellion. I'm for obedience. Amen. And I believe the Lord wants to do something great tonight. This church has helped me with water wells. And, you know, I was talking to a couple of businessmen, friends of mine from Dallas, and they were challenging me a little bit because they said, Doug, you're up to 166 water wells that you've done in Haiti. We've done some in Pakistan. We've done them in India as well. And you don't put much of it on Facebook. Why? And I said, well, I just don't like to get everybody seeing all the good, you know. I feel like you're bragging sometimes. They said, Doug, it's not like you're putting a Lamborghini on Facebook. By the way, I don't have one. All right, but, you know, if anybody wants to donate one, I'll drive it around the block and then I'll sell it and put it in the ministry. I would like to drive one for a little while, you know, maybe a day or two. There's a lot of things I want to do for a day or two, but I don't want to keep up with them. And that's probably one of them, you know. But anyway, let's get back to this. They said, Doug, put it up on Facebook. Put it up on social media. I started doing it a little bit more. But one of the things one of the guys was talking to me about, he'd been at a seminar where they were talking about human trafficking. And he said, you know, one of the greatest things about the water wells you're doing, he said, we learned at the human trafficking seminar that a lot of times girls and women are put into human trafficking because they're going 2, 3, 4 miles to get water, carrying that bucket, and there's some perverted so-and-so that finds out and just begins to stalk them and do crazy stuff and ruin their life. How many know that we have a lot of reasons to help people with water, but now we got another one? And I was sitting in my chair one day, and I was thinking about the blessing of the Lord. How many know that the Bible says you're blessed coming in and blessed going out? Do we believe that here? But I was sitting in my chair, and I had thought about, you know, somebody was talking about passive income to me. That's when you make money when you're doing nothing. You know, you're on vacation. You always hear those kind of things, passive income. And I'm like, I don't know anything about income that's passive. You know, the only passive income is the IRS. Whatever. If you work for the IRS, you know, I got to watch what I'm doing. I'm on video, I think. I love the IRS. Lightning hits, I'm dead, you know, we're all in trouble. I'm joking a little bit here, but passive income is when you get income when you're on vacation, when you're basically doing anything, nothing. And I was sitting in that chair thinking, I'm passively blessed. Think about that. What do I mean by that? I can be sitting in my chair reading a book, and I'm blessed because the Bible says if you give a cup of water in His name, you will not lose your reward. I want to have you watch a little video here. And at the close of the service, we're going to receive an offering. But some of you want to help us with what we're doing around the world. Get involved. God's doing great things. I believe there's some people here that could help us with a water well this week. And we can see something great happen. Water wells are only $1,500. And we're going to see some things happen. But watch the video and then I'll get right into the Word of God. Amen, amen. Amen. Aren't you glad for all the good things he's done for you? Amen. How many of you know we're blessed to be a blessing? And I'm just excited about what God is going to do. Get involved, you know. Maybe you say, I can't do a whole water well. There's probably a few of you that could, but maybe you can do half or part of one. We can do something great for the kingdom of God. And we're knocking them out. I think the month of September, we did 4 in Haiti and 2 in India. So we had a good month. And but in a couple of days, we start a new month. So we got to keep on plugging away because there's still people that need to be reached, and we can do it. Out in the foyer, we have a couple of books we've written, Faith for the Holy Ghost, and a lot of people enjoy that book. There's an Assemblies of God church in the Bronx that they bought that for every man in their church. They have church. I'll be there in October. They have 5 services on Sunday, and they don't really have enough parking. And so they're going to dig under their church and do an underground parking. And they raised $1 million, but they got stuck right there, and they needed 3. That's a lot of money for parking, but, you know, if you can't go anywhere else, you got to figure a way to do it. And so they bought that book, and after they bought the book and gave it to all the men in the church, they raised another $2 million. Now, what am I saying? You buy the book, you'll get $2 million? I didn't say that. But what I know is the Holy Ghost always inspires us to do great things. And so that book is out there for $10. We have the book we've written, Rock Solid Principles for Prosperity. It is out there for $10. I talk about why some do not prosper. I talk about why people have strife, struggle, and confusion in their home. You might want to pick that up. It's out there as well. And then something new I have a new music project. There's 10 songs on here. This is a CD. If anybody knows what a CD is anymore, that's like a small record. If you don't have a CD, you know, I put some CDs in my car one day, and I was going to go preach somewhere, and I thought, I'll open them up and listen on the way to the meeting. And I open them up, and I start to stick it, and I don't even have a CD player in my car. I didn't even know. And maybe you don't have a CD player anymore. We have it on Spotify. It's also on iTunes, and it's available to buy there. And then also on Spotify and iTunes, we have a weekly podcast where we have free sermons available. And then our YouTube channel, we got a lot of preaching there. If anybody wants to be a partner with us, if you fill this out, we got a little gift for you. And then some of you have been wearing the shirt you have. Well, we got some new ones. This says whatever on the front, my favorite word, but the back is Philippians 4:8, whatever's pure, lovely, and just, think on these things. And then I have it also in the royal blue here, whatever, and then on the back the same. And those shirts, again, are worth about $15, but I sell them for $20. Everybody say whatever. Now, you say, what can we do? With $5, we're able to feed 5 kids a meal, and that's what we do with that. And so we don't think anything about it asking you, and nobody stuck a gun to your head to do it anyway, all right? So you can do what you want to do. But we take cash, credit, debit, check, PayPal, Venmo, Cash App. We do it all right? We can do it all. All right, praise the Lord. Good to see Pastor Randy Baldwin. While you guys were having church Sunday here, I was with him and his wife and his church, and we had a wonderful time there, and I'm so glad to see you tonight. I know the Lord's going to do greater things there. They have a beautiful facility there, and the people were wonderful too. Amen. So if any of them are watching tonight, we love being there, and we're glad to see you here tonight. Why don't you come up here? I'm going to have you pray after I read the scripture. Come on up right now, though. Everybody stand, all right? You what? Oh, all right. Well, they did a good job. I like both of them. All right. 2 Timothy 4:8. Let's read that, and then I'm going to have Pastor pray over the reading of the word. 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let's pray over the reading of the word. Pastor, pray.
Let us pray. Father, we just thank you tonight, Lord, that we can come in your house tonight. Lord, that we have freedom and liberty tonight to delve into your word tonight, Lord, to see exactly what it is, Lord, that you have for each and every one of us tonight, Lord. And I just ask you right now, Lord, to allow the anointing to flow through the man of God tonight, to allow your Holy Spirit, Lord, to visit individually each and every heart in this room tonight, Lord, that we can truly leave here different than we came in. And I pray, Lord, that every heart in this house came expecting something from you tonight, because you'll never, never disappoint us. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Come on, tell somebody, I see great things coming your way. It's inevitable, and you can be seated tonight. Come on, tell somebody, I see great things coming your way. It's inevitable. Amen. Amen. How many know that a lot of people are wanting to know what is going to happen next? You know, while the church, I think we read the Bible a little different than we did in 1980 than we do in 2021. When I begin to read Revelation 1, 2, and 3, and I read about the church before the coming of the Lord, it looks a little different to me than it did in 1980. And I see the Laodicean church. I see the church that says they need nothing. And I'm seeing a little different thing when I read that. But I'm going to tell you that while a lot of people think they need nothing, the world is wondering what is happening, and we're seeing God move in a tremendous way. I was at a church in West Virginia that I've been 25 straight years in revival, and in 1 week we saw more people get saved than we had in all 25 years added together. And I believe it started with two heroin addicts. And I'm going to tell you that there are people that don't know what is going on in the world. They cannot figure it out, and they're unsure. And we know that times are very weird and strange that we are living in. And we have some people that are trying to tell you what they think is going to happen. And then there's some preachers that are prophesying what is going to happen. And others are speculating. But how many know that the Bible is very clear about what will happen next? And I believe the Bible is clear about the near coming events. There is Bible prophecy, and I think that some people ignore Bible prophecy because they say it's very hard to understand, but I don't believe the Bible is vague about the days that we are living in, the last days. He talks about an imminent return, the near and fast approaching of Jesus Christ coming back to catch away the saints, and I believe his coming is very near. Do we believe that here? Now, we read the scripture, 2 Timothy 4 and 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. Now, I have a dad that is 90 years old. He pastored 67 years in the Assemblies of God. And I'm going to tell you, he's still living, but, you know, I don't know how long he'll live, but I'm going to tell you, I believe he's going to heaven. And when we get to heaven, I think you're probably going to be there a while, and after you've been there a while, you're going to wonder why that guy is in heaven wearing that big crown with the big gaudy ruby on the front of it. You're going to see a guy that looks like John Hagee. My dad's a big guy. He'll tell you he was healed of anorexia at birth. All right? And he's a big guy, and he kind of looks like John Hagee. You could put their pictures side by side, and they would look similar. But that man that you see in heaven with that big old gaudy crown with the big ruby on it, you're going to wonder, how did he get that big ruby on his crown? And I believe it's going to be because my dad, he preached about and he longed and looked for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. If he preached on tithing, he would say you need to tithe because Jesus is coming soon. And if he preached about a family, how to have a good family, he said you need to have a good family because Jesus is coming soon. Somewhere he would work that in. And I'm going to tell you, I heard him preach about that a lot. And if I go to his house, he'll talk about it. But I'm here to tell you, I believe it more today than I did when I began preaching many, many years ago. Next year, I'll be preaching 40 years. Wow. But I believe the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, what will be the sign of your coming? And Jesus gives some answers, and I'm not going to read all of it, but he said there'll be deception. How many know there's a lot of deception in the world today? And then he said there will be wars and rumors of wars. How many know that what we see going on in the Gaza Strip and the Holy Land, what we see going on in Afghanistan, what we see nation against nation, we know that Russia and China and Iran, as I'm speaking, are flexing their muscles right now. But he said that there'll be kingdom against kingdom. And I really think that we're living in that day where kingdom against kingdom is really light against darkness. That there's something going on, light versus darkness. But in the middle of that chapter, I really like what Jesus says. He says in the middle of that chapter, with all that's going on, with all the chaos, with all the things happening, with all the speculation, he says, don't be troubled. I'm talking to somebody tonight. Whatever is going on in the world and whatever you see, I'm saying what Jesus said. Don't be troubled. He said, don't be troubled. He said, let not your heart be troubled, John 14, 1. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He says, again, don't be troubled. In the middle of that chapter, he says again, there'll be famine. How many know we thought at the beginning of Corona that doing without toilet paper and Lysol, we were going to die? Back in March in Oklahoma and Texas, we found out we can do without toilet paper and we can do without Lysol, but we can't really do without electricity. It was freezing cold in Oklahoma and Texas in those months, and we had some issues going on. But then we find Jesus said there'll be pestilences, disease. We have never seen a disease like the one that we are seeing now. And before you start blaming God for giving you disease, I want you to know that the Bible says the devil is the author of confusion. So we got one day politicians tell us one thing, and the next day we hear something else. One day Fauci says this, the next day says this. One day the Democrats say this, and then the Republicans say this. It seems like it's all over the place. It's confusing. So where you find confusion, you'll find the devil is the author of confusion. This pestilence is not of God. Can I get an amen in here? Don't get all nervous here. I'm preaching better than you're amening, though. You know, some of you go, oh, he's going to say something that's going to offend me. Well, even in that chapter, he said many will be offended. So, you know, all I can say about it being offended is Psalm 119, verse 165 says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. What am I saying? Get over it. But so far, I haven't really hurt anybody, I don't think. And I don't plan on it. But the truth is, we've had disease in the past, but many times it was localized. We had Ebola in the Congo, and we had SARS, and some of it got to America, but mostly Mexico. We've never had worldwide disease and pestilence, but the Bible says that Jesus said these are the beginning of sorrows. He didn't say this is all that's going to ever happen, but he said this is the beginning. He said these are the early birth pains. When my wife had babies, she would have contractions, and those were the sign that the baby is coming, and they were painful, no doubt. I was thinking, I'm glad I'm a man. But when that baby came, that was very painful. And what he's saying is, what we are seeing now is nothing that will compare to what happens after I come. When the tribulation begins, you better get ready. If you're not ready for the coming of the Lord, you'll be left behind. What you've seen in 2020 and 21 is nothing compared to the tribulation. Can I get an amen in here? He said, many will be offended and betray one another. And then false prophets will deceive many. So we have a lot of deception going on in the world. But Matthew 24, verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So we see that there will be that sin will abound and some will no longer love the Lord like they did in the past. But he's talking about these are going to be what is happening right before I come back. Now let's read over in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and all on the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Look at this right here. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? When you see the coming of the Lord is approaching, it is very near, how should you live? How should you live your life knowing that the Lord is coming soon? I'm going to skip right on down to the bottom there. It says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now, I want to come at this a little bit different. You might be, you know, some of you don't like prophecy and all this stuff, but I'm going to talk to you a little bit. How should you live knowing that the coming Lord is very near? How should I live now that I know his coming is very near? What should I do now that I see his coming is near? Number one, I believe you ought to preach with an urgency. That because we know that Jesus' coming is very near, you and I ought to preach with an urgency. Not just the pastor and I, not just those that are called into the ministry, but you, all of us, have got to warn people that Jesus is coming. They've got to save people from coming, from missing out on the coming of the Lord. I had somebody ask me the other day, what camp are you in? And I know what they were asking. Are you in the faith camp? Or are you in the grace camp? Well, I like faith and grace. But I didn't answer them. And then they were wondering if I was in the prosperity camp. And I was thinking, well, I like that better than the poverty camp. But I didn't answer that either. I just kept going. And I said, well, you know what camp I'm in? I'm in the I don't want to go to hell camp, and I don't want anybody else to go to hell camp. Because I don't want people to go to hell. I got to preach with an urgency. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So he's saying that we are to preach the word. Why do we preach the word? Because the word is the incorruptible seed. The word that is planted and the word that is watered, it will produce a harvest. I thank God for the word of God. It is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word will endure forever. Preach the word. So what does that mean? Every time I come to church, I'm going to make you feel good? Well, I want to lift you up tonight. I want to build you up. But sometimes I may step on your toes a little bit because he said exhort. He said to reprove and rebuke. Sometimes you might leave a little beat up. But if you think I preach hard, you should have went to the church I grew up in. You left beat up, but you left shouting and praising God. I don't know, but I think we need to get a little backbone and preach a strong message again, because we're preaching a watered down message and we wonder why we're getting watered down results. But if you'll preach the word, something mighty will happen. See, we need to preach the word with an urgency because his appearing is near. We need to tell people. We need to warn people. There should be an urgency in our effort. How many know that this Bible right here is called good news, but if it doesn't get there on time, it is not good news. We have got to preach the good news. Every time we meet together, it could be somebody's last chance. See, I don't take it lightly. You know, there's been a few times I thought, you know, I know everybody there. You know, but you don't know what's going on with people. I don't know what's going on with you last night. I don't know what's going on in your mind. I don't know what's going on in your heart. And every time we meet, it could be somebody's last chance. I'm saying tonight, we need to preach with an urgency, knowing that the coming of the Lord is very near. What should I do now that I see his coming is near? How should I live? Number two, we need to get ready for his appearance. Now, how many understand that if you came to my house and showed up at the door and we brought you in, our house is going to be clean? My wife keeps a clean house. Now, sometimes it looks like an Amazon holding facility. You know what I mean? We got a few boxes, but you could go to the bathroom and we wouldn't be embarrassed that the toilet's dirty. You know, the sink had stuff in it. You know, that's not how we roll at our house. Now, we might if I was by myself, but since I have a wife that cares, it works out pretty good. But I'm going to tell you, if we know that we have invited somebody as a special guest, we're going to prepare for that special guest. So we're going to make sure the vacuums run. We're going to make sure all the mirrors get cleaned, no dust on the shelves. How many know what I'm talking about? I remember preaching when Lori and I were very young. And we're on our way to preach, and we're driving in the car. And we're about 15 minutes from the place we're going to preach. And I said to Lori, I said, we're staying at the pastor's house. She said, oh, okay. And we used to do that sometimes, but thank God we're over that. Because then I know too much about you and you know too much about me. Whatever that means. Okay. So we're on our way. And I said, and I'm going to tell you, I believe the house is going to be very dirty. That's what I said. She said, how do you know the house is going to be dirty? Have you ever been to this guy's house? I said, I only met him a few weeks ago. He came to my dad's church. I was preaching. He invited me to preach from hearing me preach. She said, how do you know their house is going to be dirty? I said, well, I met the pastor's wife. They're very, very old, okay? Like, he was literally 90 pastoring, okay? So when you're 90, you brag about how old you are, okay? She said, how do you know that the house is going to be dirty by meeting the pastor's wife? I said, well, she had long chin hairs. She said, what does chin hairs have to do with your house being clean? I said, if she can't pluck those babies, she's not cleaning that house. She goes, Doug, you're crazy. All right, that's what she told me. She told me I was crazy. I should have sucked my thumb and gotten the fetal position from her talking ugly to me. We get to the house. We open the door. It looks like an episode out of Hoarders. I said, see, I told you. We had to move stuff to sit down. It was crazy. But see, most of the time, if you have a special guest and you know somebody of great importance is coming, you prepare. You clean your house, you deep clean. And we know that Jesus is coming soon, so special preparation must be made. He's coming for a church that is without spot or wrinkle. Smith Wigglesworth, he said, half of the so-called believers will not be ready when Jesus comes and they'll be left behind. Now think about that. How does he come up with that? Well, here, I'm from Oklahoma. I'm from the country in Oklahoma, but I think I can do math. My math would be two are in the field, one is taken, the other left behind. Two are in the bed, one is taken, the other left behind. Five are prepared, five are unprepared. If I do my math, that's about half. So I'm going to tell you something. We got to get ready for his appearance. He could come at any moment. Number three, what should I do now that I see his coming is near? How should I live? Number three, we need to keep busy doing God's business. Keep busy doing God's business. Now look here, Luke 19:13. He called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. How many know what the word occupy? We don't really use it that much anymore. But occupy, if you get on an airplane, you go to that room with the blue water in it. When you get to the door has a little slide on it. And if it's green, you can go in. If it's red, it'll say occupied. Occupied means busy. So I don't know if I were to give this sermon a country song name, I would say, work like the devil for the Lord. Okay. Everybody say whatever. But this story is, we're to occupy till he comes. See, the reason sometimes people get upset at people that believe in the coming of the Lord, they say, well, we're trying to escape. Jesus said to pray that you might escape all these things. But I'm just not sitting on my hands until he comes. I am going to work as hard as I can to get as many people saved as I can. I'm going to work for the kingdom of God, because we read this story about a guy that took his investment and he made an increase of 10 times. The second guy took the 10 and made an increase of 5. The third guy, he increased none. He did nothing. And when he was asked why he did nothing, he had his excuses. He said, I was afraid. I was afraid. You know, we have a lot of people afraid. We have people afraid of the disease, afraid of getting sued, afraid of people's opinion. But I'm going to say it like this tonight. You need to keep doing God's business until he comes. Multiply the kingdom. Expand the kingdom. We can't be hiding out, but we have got to occupy. Are you understanding me? You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm staying home. Well, I understand if you're staying home and you don't go to Walmart, you don't go to Lowe's, and you don't go to Home Depot, and you don't go to Piggly Wiggly. You say, well, I have to eat. Well, the Bible says man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. See, I can't be hoarding up, doomsday prepping. I got to occupy till he comes. Don't make the mistake of thinking you have plenty of time. Use the abilities you've been given, the talent, the anointing you've been given right up to the Lord's return, and be faithful with what you have been given. There is no such thing as standing still in the Christian life. You either get more or lose what you have. You either advance to greater heights or we slip back. I don't know about you, but I'm not going back. I'm not backing up. I'm not letting up. I'm out here to serve God and occupy till he comes. I'm going to keep busy doing the work of the Lord. What should I do now that I see his coming is near? How should I live? Number four, take communion correctly. What does that have to do with the coming Lord? I'm glad you asked. Taking communion, what does that have to do with the coming Lord? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. There's three words right there. What does communion have to do with the coming of the Lord? I'm glad you asked. It's right here. They were having difficulty because people were taking communion unworthily. Okay, now, I'm going to tell you how my mind works a little bit, and how the Spirit of God spoke to me about this point right here. The Lord spoke to me about this. Because I don't know about you, but when something's not right, I have to find Scripture to figure out why it's not working. Okay. Why is it we see just as many Christians getting corona as we see unsaved people getting corona? Okay, before you get mad, I had corona badly, okay? Ambulance came, passing out, all right? Wife slaps me. No, devil, no. You know, that kind of stuff. All right, so are you with me? I think she just wanted an excuse to slap me. So I'm not saying corona is not real. But I'm going to say, do we believe that it's God's will that none should perish? So we believe it's God's will for everybody to be saved. Now, how does that happen? By the atonement, by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that same blood, we say, healing comes. One of the greatest theologians the Assemblies of God ever had was P.C. Nelson. And in his book, he says, healing's in the atonement for everyone. And yet, we have just as many Christians getting sick as we do non-Christians. So I began to ask some questions. All right? And I began looking to the Word of God for answers. Now, are you with me? Now, I understand that this church is not the only church. Do you understand that? You're part of a bigger church. The church of the Lord where He's the head. All right? Do we get that? So when I say the church, don't say, well, we do. Okay, I go to churches where I tell you they take communion like they're taking Cheez-Its and a Coke. Like it's a snack. Okay? And when you take the Lord's Supper unworthily, some things happen. The Bible says it brings damnation. What does damnation mean? Hell. It brings hell on earth when you take the communion unworthily. What does it say? It makes some are weak and some are sickly and some die. Now, I'm not saying if you had corona that you just took communion incorrectly. I'm talking about the body of believers that we're a part of. I'm not talking about individual. You know, that's like saying, because you of sin, you're sick. All right? I don't go with that route. Because of sin in the world, there's sickness. Because if we all were sick because of sin, we'd all be dead. Sick. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. We've all sinned. Okay? But sin, the original sin brought a lot of stuff into this world that we don't like. Okay, so here we are. We're talking about communion still. When you take it unworthily, something bad happens. But we got to understand what we're talking about, communion, it cost Jesus his life. Do you realize the whole world knows about God? They say God blankety blank. But you and I, we don't call him God blankety blank. We call him Father because we know him as Father because of what Jesus did on the cross. And every time we take communion, we are remembering what Jesus did for us. He took our place. We should have been on that cross. We were the ones with sin. He was the one without. He's the one that took the thorns in his brow. He's the one that took the nails in his hands and his feet. He was the one beaten beyond recognition and mocked and spit on when it should have been us. That's what we do when we take communion. We remember what he did. Without his blood, we don't have new life. Without the broken body, we don't have any healing. The blood is important. The juice and the body is important. The bread or the wafer, we can't have one without the other. We got to take them both. And why even take communion if you don't believe he's coming? He said, do it until I come. Okay, let's keep going on here. Let's talk about unworthily. When I was a kid going to church, here's how it was. I have two older sisters, Debbie and Pam, would sit in the back seat. I should have been able to sit in between them, but if I sat between them, we got in too much trouble. So I sat in the front. Really, I stood on the front seat. We didn't have a car seat. The safety restraint was my dad's arm. You remember those days? I rode a bike recently and they said, you want a helmet? I said, man, I grew up without a car seat. Do you think I want a helmet? I don't, you know, you can wear a helmet if you want, but I just feel weird wearing one. Because I bounced off this thing a few times and I'm still here. All right. But my mom, on the way to church as a kid, she'd lean over to my dad and say, "Bill, give me your handkerchief." He'd pull his handkerchief out. She'd go, and wipe my face with it. I don't need the vaccine. I've already been vaccinated. That's, if you get sick after your mom spit on a cloth, man, I don't know what, you know, something's wrong. My immune system got strong right there. But then my mom would say, "Debbie, Pam, Doug, Dougie." She said, "Today's Communion Sunday." She said, "If you got anything against your brother, you need to get it out. If you got anything against your sister, you need to get it out." This is how she'd talk on the way to church. "You got something against each other, you need to get it out." And she said, "If you got any sin in your life and you don't get rid of it, don't take communion." That's what she'd say. Now we come into church and we just say, "Everybody, just take communion any old way you want to do it." Folks, I'm going to tell you something. When we baptize people in water, that's important. When we take communion, that's important. When we marry people and bury people, those are important events. We ought not take them lightly, just like, "Yeah, whatever." But if you hold feelings of hatred, bitterness, and contempt against others, and you come to the table of the Lord, you eat and drink unworthily, if you're ticked off at your pastor unworthily, if there's division in the church or the body, get it out before you take communion. This is good preaching right here. If you know you have sin, ask for forgiveness. The Lord's Supper is not to be taken lightly. This new covenant cost Jesus his life. Come on, let me go on. I know you weren't shouting with all that, but I'm trying to help somebody here. What should I do now that I see his coming is near? How should I live? Number five, I'm gonna get down right here. Stay full of the Holy Ghost. We already talked about 10 bridesmaids. 5 were wise, 5 were unwise, 5 took oil in their lamps, 5 their lamps ran out of oil. We know that oil is not the Holy Ghost, but it symbolizes the Holy Ghost. And so I'm going to tell you something. I believe the Holy Ghost helps you to be ready for the rapture. Only the blood of Jesus gets you to heaven, but I believe the Holy Ghost will give you victory on the way to heaven. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:14. "And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power." God has both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. See, that's resurrection power, the same power that raised the dead corpse of Jesus from the dead. It's the same power that is going to lift you and I when the trumpet sounds and the shout goes up. We're not going to get there by jumping power. We're not going to get there by magnetic power, but we're going to meet the Lord in the air by Holy Ghost power. You and I, we need to remain alert and ready for his coming. His coming could be at any time. Listen, I'm going to get down to this. What should I do now that I see his coming is near? How should I live? Number 6, expect revival in the last days. See, a lot of people, they read their Bible and they say, "Well, I know there's going to be a falling away, a falling away, a falling away." Well, maybe what we've been seeing is the falling away. About a third of the church isn't back anywhere I go in the U.S. I don't know. I don't know what that means. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to. I see why some people aren't back, and some of them have good reasons, I guess. You know, I can, you know, if they're staying at home for everything else, I'm cool about it. But I'm going to tell you, I believe in Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he quoted the prophet Joel. He said, "It shall come to pass in the last days. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, your sons, your daughters, daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I'm going to tell you, I believe the greatest sign of His coming is the outpouring of the Holy Ghost that has taken place across the world. I've been seeing people filled with the Holy Ghost every week around the United States. God is filling the young people and some old people with the Holy Ghost. He said, in the last days, I'll pour out My Spirit upon all flesh. That means young flesh. That means wrinkled up flesh. That means flesh you got pinned up behind your ear flesh. It means dark flesh, light flesh, every color you can imagine flesh. If you got skin, you're in the last days. Can I get an amen in here? I believe a greatest sign of His coming is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. See, everybody talks about social media. And on Facebook, they say 1 out of every 10 people in the world are on Facebook. I'm going to tell you something even greater than that. 1 out of every 10 people in the world speak with tongues. I'm here to tell you something. A lot of people will talk about Facebook, but I'm not ashamed to talk about the Holy Ghost. He's the one that drew me to Jesus. And I believe this is an outpouring of the Spirit. He's not just doing it in other places, but He's doing it around the world. I was in Pakistan one afternoon and had over 300 leaders filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I was in Mexico, saw over 150 leaders filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I was in Argentina one night, had over 1,500 people all filled with the Holy Ghost in one service. I'm telling you something, God is pouring out His Spirit on the hungry and thirsty. If you'll get hungry and thirsty, He will fill you. We know that in 1906, there was a great move of God that began in Los Angeles. It really began in Topeka, went to Houston, Texas, then wound up out in Los Angeles, where a man by the name of William Seymour, he was a man missing, blind in one eye. A one-eyed black man could see more than most people that had two eyes. I thought that was good. But this man went and he preached about the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And in 1906, a great move of God began to sweep the nation. It began to sweep the world, even to North Carolina. One of the men that was in that revival, G.B. Cashwell, went to Dunn, North Carolina, and they had what they called Azusa East, a great move of God that began a lot of things happening even in this area. But I'm going to tell you, every church around the world has been affected by that revival. The Assemblies of God, the Four Square, the Church of God, the Pentecostal Holiness. Every church of pretty much of any significance can trace their roots back to Azusa Street. I was there on the street where they have a little sign now. That's all that's there. And I got out of the car and I was just blessed because I knew what had happened there. It had affected my life, affected my family's life. And I lifted up my hands, just prayed in the Spirit and was crying in the street. I didn't care what people in Los Angeles thought. They're all crazy anyway. What's one more crazy? You know, they're leaving like crazy because they want to get away from crazy. All I say is, when you leave crazy, don't bring it around me. But that was in 1906. He said, in the last days. 1906 was not the last days. Everybody says, well, that was the greatest revival. That was the great. He said, in the last days, I'll pour out My Spirit upon all flesh. 1906 is 115 years ago. Evidently, it wasn't the last days. God's got something greater for the last days. How many remember the story where He turned the water into wine? He saved the best for last. Something's going to happen in these days. I don't feel bad that I'm living in these days. I am not defeated because of Corona. I am not defeated because the devil's a liar. I'm going to tell you, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And He said, I will build My church and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. There was a healing revival that took place in this nation in the late 40s and the 50s. people like Jack Coe and Oral Roberts and A.A. Allen and William Branham and many in the healing revival had great tent meetings across this nation. My dad said he went to William Branham's, he went to A.A. Allen's, he went to Jack Coe's, he went to Oral Roberts' meetings. And in Tulsa, when Jack Coe was there, they backed up a semi-truck trailer to put all of the crutches and the wheelchairs and the leg braces that were there in a 40-foot container to take it to the dump. But one wouldn't do it, two wouldn't do it, three. Finally, they were able to take all the things that people had left, the walkers and the wheelchairs and that. And I'm going to tell you something. That was a great move of God, but I'm going to tell you that's at least 70 years ago. So it's not the last days. The best is still yet to come. We know about Toronto in 1994. I was there. It was a move of God. I know about the move of God in Brownsville at Pensacola. I was there in 1995. These were moves of God. God visited those places, but that's 26 and 27 years ago. Evidently not the last days. They were great moves of God, but they are not the last move of God. We can expect a greater move of God in the coming days. If you believe it, shout amen in this place. Shout amen in this place. I'm expecting. I didn't come going, well, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. You know, try to bless me if you want. No, I'm going to tell you, I'm blessed to be a blessing. I'm not letting everything happen to me. I'm happening to everything around me. Sometimes I just got to turn it off. Turn it off. Okay, oh, turn it off. I was old school, turning it off. Some of you don't even know what that is. But I was the channel changer in my house. I'm going to tell you, sometimes you just got to turn it off and change the atmosphere. Sometimes you just got to let the Spirit of God come on in, come on in, come on in, Spirit of God. See, He's coming so soon. I can't just jack around with all this stuff that's going around the world. I have got to lift up the name of Jesus. I got to shout unto God with the voice of triumph. I got to stir up the gift of God that is within me. I got to do something. I got to change the atmosphere because I don't want people to go to hell. Listen, when I was in that earthquake 11 years ago, I'm going to tell it again because I don't get tired of talking about it because when I was there, it was only my second time to Haiti. And I didn't really know anybody there, hardly at all. I knew one preacher and my interpreter. We get there, we're going to fly to the north. We fly into Port-au-Prince. We're going to take a small flight over the mountains to preach in the second largest city in Haiti. When I get to the small airport, I get up to get on the plane. They say, Mr. Eccles, your flight has been canceled. They're having heavy rains. There's water up to your knee on the runway. You wouldn't want us to take the plane. I said, no, I wouldn't. Probably wouldn't. It's just a little 19-seater. I said, what do I do? They said, we'll come back tomorrow. We'll try to make the flight tomorrow. As we're walking out, me and the Secretary Treasurer for the Assemblies of God of Indiana, we're walking out. He's with me. Secretary Treasurer of Indiana Assemblies of God. Chad McAtee's with me, and another guy is there that kind of looks like us. He said, I heard you guys were on my flight. What are you guys going to do? I said, well, we're going to go to a guest house. He said, I don't even know what to do. I work for Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines. He said, I'm an underwater scuba diving welder. I said, well, come on with us. We'll get you a room where we're going to stay. So we got in a taxi, and we're going to Wall's guest house, a missions guest house. I'd stayed there one night before. And on the way there, the Lord spoke to me, do not stay there. How many know the Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You realize led does not mean bam. God doesn't give you a left hook and a right hook and an uppercut. Led means gently led. I heard a gentle voice, don't stay there. I told the taxi driver, I'm not staying there. He said, where are you going to go? I said, take me to Visa Lodge. It's the only other place I could remember in Port-au-Prince. I ate a meal there one time and I did not get sick. That's a good place to eat. So we go there. Me, my friend that's a pastor, and then this new guy. We don't know him. We go to the counter. I said, give us three rooms. They said, we only have one room with three beds. Well, that's no problem for me and my friend that I know, but I got a guy we don't. I begin to judge him. Folks, you know, some of you go, oh, don't. You know, you got this woke Jesus that smokes dope, and you go, don't judge. No judging. Well, here I'm going to tell you, Jesus does not smoke dope, number one. Number two, you're taking that out of context. You got a whole Bible here that has a book called Judges. You say, oh, I don't judge. Do you eat at every restaurant in Ahoskie? Why? You must be judging. See, if the cook looks like he's got hepatitis, I don't eat there. Do you let your kids play with everybody in the neighborhood? Oh, don't go over there. You must be judging. And yet, somehow in church, judge not lest you be judged. Where did that come from? You're taking that out of context. He said, if you're spiritual, you should judge. Whatever. I didn't mean to have that long. I'm trying to get done with this sermon, but I got stuck on that. So, here we are. He's looking at me. He's judging me. This guy, I don't know him. No, I looked at him, and I'm thinking, he's looking at me. I said, well, it's up to you, man. It's either you're going to stay here, or I don't know what you're going to do. I said, you can stay with us. He said, okay. But he felt a little weird, and I felt weird. He's afraid to be by himself. He's never been out of the country. I called the people that we were going to do the meeting for. They said, well, yeah, there's water up to your knee on the soccer stadium in the floor, on the field. We can't have the crusade tonight. We'll call. They called the general superintendent of the Assemblies of God, Calixte, Florida. He called me and he said, I'll pick you up. I'm going to have you preach at the largest church in Port-au-Prince tonight. He told me what time. We went outside and we're around the pool. I was reading the T.L. Osborne book. My friend was reading the Bible. And we got our new friend. He's going to come because he's afraid to stay by himself. And I'm thinking, he's getting saved tonight. For some fresh meat. That's what I like. All right. 4:35 in the afternoon. I'll never forget, the ground began to shake violently like I've never felt anything before. That ground began to shake violently. The concrete there began to move like a snake. That pool of water we were sitting by, it completely emptied. But as soon as that ground began to shake, I began to pray in the Holy Ghost. My friend began to pray in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues. Our new friend, he was praying in some kind of tongue, but I didn't need an interpreter. I'd heard those words before. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. That was in my heart, the Holy Ghost. 35 seconds. It was the craziest thing all over the city. We're sitting kind of on a hill. We could see smoke. We could see buildings that had collapsed. I said, let's go see what we can do to help people. Problem was, in a building like this, the whole roof collapsed in one piece. I didn't have a crowbar, I didn't have a hammer, I didn't have a front loader, I didn't have a bulldozer. All you could hear was people screaming. Some of them had been smashed. Some of them were running in the streets. Chaos everywhere. I had $8,000 in my pants pocket. Think about this. So why did you have so much money in your pants pocket? Well, they don't take American Express to pay for a water well. Are you understanding that? I had to have cash. I had it in my pants pocket. I said, look, we're going to need to help. There's some buildings. Maybe we can find somebody that maybe the grocery store didn't cave in. We found one, and I went there and they wouldn't let us in. I waved money at them. I said, we want to buy water. We want to buy food. They wouldn't sell us a bottle of water for $8,000. Now you think about this. The Bible says during the tribulation, you will not buy or sell without taking the mark on your forehead or your hand. We've not seen that yet. But I'm telling you, it's coming. And when chaos hits after the rapture of the church, the tribulation begins. And for the first 3.5 years, the easy part of the tribulation, they say 3/4 of the world could be dead by natural disasters, tsunami, floods, earthquakes. And you can see how easy it'd be to set this up. Come on, are you with me here? Yeah. It got dark pretty quick. We went back to the parking lot of the hotel. We didn't go back to our room. People said, what did you do? I prayed all night long in the Spirit. The Bible says there's peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I never got to joy, but I had peace. The next morning when it got light out, I said, let's see what we can do. We left the compound where we were at. And lining the streets were hundreds of bodies. Dead bodies. Some of them covered, some of them bloody, some of them smashed. And what I saw, I'm telling you, I can't get it out of my mind. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and have a nightmare. Some of you say, why don't you pray that God will deliver you? I don't want to be delivered. I don't want to forget what I saw. I'm a debtor to the people of Haiti. That's why I drill water wells. That's why I preach. That's why I feed kids and present the gospel to them. I'm alive. So many died that day. But the consolation I have, the only consolation I have is that earthquake took 35 seconds. I pray that some of them called on the name of the Lord in that 35 seconds. He said, call upon the name of the Lord. But when the rapture takes place and Jesus comes back, he's coming in the twinkling of an eye. Faster than I can snap my finger, faster than I can blink my eye. What does that tell me? You got to be ready for his coming in advance. Everybody stand to your feet in this place. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one looking around, but I want you to take inventory of your life. Check yourself right now. We're going to dismiss together in a little bit, but stay with me for a moment. If that trumpet were to sound and the shout were to go up and the dead in Christ were to rise, those with faith in the Lord, the graves open and they meet the Lord in the air. And it says, we're caught up together with them and with him. There's going to be people, I believe, said two will be in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Two will be in the bed, one taken, the other left. We got the 10 bridesmaids, 5 were ready, 5 were not. There's going to be people that are not ready. And I preached tonight that you might be ready. I preached tonight that you might be ready, and if you are ready, that you'll help others get ready. I want you to check yourself right now. How many in this building would say, preacher, if Jesus came back right at this moment, I'm not asking about yesterday or what you plan to do in the future. I'm not asking about some other time, some other revival, some other night. I'm asking about right now. How many in this building would say, preacher, I'm not sure if Jesus came back that I'd be ready and I need your prayer tonight. Would you lift up your hand in the air right now, quickly? I'm not sure if Jesus came back that I'd be ready tonight. I'm not sure of that. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. I want you to be honest with yourself, and I want you to be honest with God. God already knows. He's got a book. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. There's names in that book. We also know that there are names in that book that have been blotted out. Have you been to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and last night? I know that you've had opportunity to get right, but there's somebody else tonight needs to get their heart right with the Lord tonight. You say, preacher, I'm not really where I should be tonight with the Lord. I'm not sure I'm ready for his coming, and I need your prayer tonight. Is that you? Would you lift up your hand? Let me see it. Come on, is there someone here? You're watching by social media. Indicate it on there that you need prayer. Somebody will pray with you. I want to ask you tonight to do something. How many in this building say, preacher, I'm ready for the coming of the Lord, but I want the Lord to use me to reach my family, to reach my friends, to reach people around me at work, at school. I want to warn people. I want to be the one that there'll be an urgency in my talk and an urgency in the way that I deal with people. And give me wisdom, Lord. Give me guidance. Give me direction. How many in this building tonight would say, preacher, I'm ready for the coming Lord, but I want the Lord to use me in these last days. And I want him to use me, and I want to have an urgency that I've never had before. If that's you, would you join me right here in this altar? Come on, quickly. Come stand with me real quick. I want the Lord to use me strong in these last days. I want the Lord to use me strong in these last days. Come on. See, I believe revival is going to come, but God's looking for vessels to use in the revival. He said, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. There's going to be some young people rise up with the Spirit of God in their mouth saying, get off drugs, get off alcohol, and turn to Jesus. There's going to be some old men. And there's going to be some young men that God's going to use to see things like they've never seen before. Come on, I want you to lift up your hands right now, all over this building, right here. And I want you to ask the Lord to use you. I want the Lord to put an urgency on you right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, let there be an urgency in our prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Come on, church, I'm asking you to get excited about your praying, because if you don't get excited about your praying, probably not much is going to happen. Come on, I want you to pray right now. Come on, ask the Lord to fill you with the Spirit of God, fresh and anew. Give you a new anointing, a fresh anointing. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let the Spirit of God begin to move in our heart and in our life. Let there be a breakthrough for our family in the name of Jesus. Those that have been against the coming of the Lord and the things of God, Lord, I pray that their heart would open. Lord, let us have wisdom and let us have guidance and direction. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty tonight in the name of the Lord. Come on, I want you to pray right now. I want you to pray boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on, reach over and touch your neighbor on the shoulder right now. Come on. If you're by somebody that you know, pray with them. If not, you feel like it's okay, pray with them. Come on. I don't want anybody to pray alone right now. Come on, I want you to stir up the gift of God. Pray for them like you'd like to be prayed for. If you want a weak blessing, pray a weak prayer. If you want a strong blessing, pray a strong prayer right now. The glory of the Lord is risen. The glory of the Lord is upon us tonight. Lord, we declare the heavens are open. Hallelujah. Come on, some of you have been praying for loved ones. You've been waiting for the heavens to open. I declare now they are open in the name of Jesus. Angels, minister unto us, the heirs of salvation. Come on, when you were baptized in the Holy Ghost, just like Jesus, the heavens opened. Come on, there's an open heaven over you right now. Come on, the things that have been stopping the blessing of God are opening up now in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on, they're liberty, 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 liberty in the name of Jesus. 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 Come on, God's doing something there strong right there. Come on, strong. Come on. You thought that it was over. You thought that it could not happen. But I'm telling you tonight, by the Spirit of God, it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. By my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Right now, the Holy Ghost is working on your behalf. The Holy Ghost is working behind the scene. The Holy Ghost is working on the inside. Come on, the Holy Ghost is all around you right now. Come on, in the name of Jesus, the atmosphere changes now. The glory of the Lord flows now in the name of the Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Fire of God, burn right now. Lord, a great blessing in the name of the Lord upon their life. In the name of Jesus. In the name. We declare the greatest days are ahead in the name of Jesus. Fire, fire, Holy Ghost and fire. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Lord, your Spirit moving now in the name.
Peace, but I chose the dirt to lay my head.
Come on, church, I want you to keep praying right now in the name of Jesus.
I was a captive to what the accuser said.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Then you stepped into my grave, laughing at the guilt and shame.
Oh, hallelujah! I want you to hear what God's saying.
Was stripped away. Now I stand and see. I am washed by the blood of the Lamb. I am washed by the blood of the Lamb. And by your
come on, keep reaching out to God. Come on, Lord, your glory, your glory, your glory. In the name of Jesus.
I stand in the promise that you will never leave.
Greater, 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 greater.
Because I found a love that fills me. And I've tasted freedom that drowns out all my sins. Oh. Then you stepped into my grave, laughing at the guilt and shame, and all my fears were stripped away.
Come on, just worship the Lord. I love you, Jesus.
I am washed by the blood of the Lamb, and by your stripes I'm closer than I have ever been.
Hallelujah. I want you to lift up a hand right here with me. Come on, everybody, lift up a hand. Close your eyes. Say this with me. Make this a bold faith declaration right now. I believe the coming of the Lord is very near. Give me an urgency that I'll share the good news. Open doors for me. Give me direction. Give me guidance. Give me favor that I might speak to others. I'm available to you, Lord. I'm yours, Lord. Use me, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Come on, just lift up your hands and just worship Him for a moment. I worship you, Lord. I praise your mighty name. I glorify your name. I exalt you, Lord Jesus. Come on, sing it out. How many know you're blessed tonight? Amen. We're blessed. I'm ready. The Bible says there's a crown of righteousness laid up, not only for me, but unto all those that look and live for His appearing. I believe we need to be looking for His appearing. We need to stay ready. But I want to challenge you tonight. You're blessed. We know Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. We are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, Galatians 3:29. We're blessed to be a blessing. I don't know what it'd be like not to have water. I don't know what it'd be like to have to go to the river to get water. But I'm so blessed I can bless others. And that's what I want to have you do tonight. I want you to help me. Maybe somebody here can sponsor a whole water well, $1,500. But you know what? If we had six of you do $250, we knock a water well out just like that. But the truth is, I love the Word so much. And I love the blessing of God. He said, if you give a cup of water in His name, you're not going to lose your reward. I talked about that passive blessing. Can you imagine you sowed into a water well, and we got one water well that it goes to 7,000 people. Finished a water well in India last week. In an area they had already tried seven times and came up with no water. We went 400 feet and we got water. It was a testimony to the whole, because it's on a Assemblies of God church property. They tried all over the city, couldn't get any water. Now everybody has to come to the Assemblies of God in a Hindu nation. That's going to be a great blessing. But you know what? With 166 water wells in Haiti, and not including the ones in Pakistan and India, somebody's taking a drink right now. Blessed. Well, let me move over here. I get blessed over here too, because somebody took another drink. That one water well we got in Haiti does 7,000 people on the mountain because we drilled 250 feet. We got a pump. We got a generator on it. We got a little house that is over it with a big container on top, and it goes to four locations where everybody on that mountain gets free water before they had to go to the river. I just think they're drinking right now. I'm getting blessed. That's how we get blessed. There's a lot of ways to get blessed, but this is a real good way. Once you go back to your seat, get ready. Pastor's going to come. Come on.
Come on, give the Lord praise tonight for what he's done. Amen. Come on, give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, prepare your hearts and prepare your manner of giving. If you're writing a check, you just write it to CSIC. If you're giving online, you just put guest on the app. Our giving is about 60% technological here in the church, so I know many of you are used to using the app. You need to do that. That's not a lot of money, and it's a blessing to be able to see those things happen. We've been blessed to be able to do that every time Doug has come. I've been on the other end of that blessing too. I preached 2 weeks in other nations just a few years back, 4 or 5 years ago. I covered for a guy who could not cover the meetings, and I said, yes, I'll go. And I preached in Lebanon for 10 days. And these, I'm not used to this. I was preaching over top of a gas station, and I said, why are we having church over top of the gas station? Because the people that owned the gas station built the church. They had a lot of money. And Ken, this had never happened to me before. Always, you know, don't expect anything. I've never received but one offering overseas anyway, and that was less than $2. And I got it in my office desk. I'll never spend it. But always give when I go overseas. And this guy says, preacher, hold out your hand. And he starts counting off $100 bills, and he filled my hand up. And I thought, well, why in the world is this happening? Well, the next week and a half, I preached in Ghana. And I gave every dollar that was given to me in Lebanon away in Ghana. And I asked the pastor, I said, listen, I said, how much does it cost you to live? You know, it was a very impoverished nation. And he was living very poorly. And I could see by the, you know, his car was just barely making it. He told me how much he made. And the average wages in Ghana were $7 a week. And I calculated it up. And I figured it would take me about $250 to pay him to survive for a year. I said, ask him how much his cell phone was. It was just not much at all. So I calculated it all up, and I took that wad of cash, and I started counting it back to him. And every time I started counting, tears were running down his face, and he fell down to his knees, and he said, God is provider, God is provider. You know, it's a blessing to give, whether you're giving away money or giving away water or digging a well or whatever. It's our responsibility because we're blessed. And if you listen to Doug Echols, you can understand why 35 seconds of his life put a passion in his soul. Hear me, church. 35 seconds of his life put a passion in his soul to drill wells and to give water to people who have none. And I'm just asking you to obey the Holy Spirit. Whatever he says to you, just do it. Father, thank you for the opportunity to give. Thank you for people as they come here in a moment and drop what they have, Lord, that you've spoken to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Just get up and hit the buckets before you go tonight. Go by the table if you need to take a book home or a shirt or something. But just come before you leave. And if you need to give online, just use the app. And we bless you tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for a spirit of revival. You know, you guys are tired. Everybody's tired. Thank you, worship team, man. These guys are driving 45 minutes to an hour to get here every night. Come on. And just, you guys, phenomenal, phenomenal worship leading tonight. And I know you're tired, but somebody say, one more night. Come on, one more night. I was thinking about it last night. I told Annie, I said, many times I remember, man, when I was in the world, I'd go out and I'd get plastered drunk and I'd stay out till 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, wake up the next morning, not even remember when I got home. So there's no need to complain about another night of worship because this is a different kingdom. Remember? Come on. I used to do that and think nothing about it. And now we come to the kingdom of God
and we have a blessing to be able to come to another night service and just receive a charge of the Holy Ghost. And so, Lord, thank you for the gifts tonight. Thank you for the givers. Thank you, God, for a water well where we can give a cup of water in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Fellowship quickly before you go tonight. And we'll see you tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Last night, Restoration 21. Amen. Praise the Lord.